Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air, online, and streaming live video to Facebook and YouTube, and we would love to hear from you on this edition. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's a brand new month, and we have a brand new topic. We're going to be discussing the will of God. So the question on the table for the entire month, the question on the table today is, do you know God's will for your life? And that is one of those important questions and a question that we all ask and we're seeking answers for. And it's one of those really frustrating experiences because I think we think in terms of God's will as a plan, that perfect plan for our lives. And if we don't find that perfect plan, then life is just going to be miserable. So many people out there are trying to find that perfect plan of God for their lives. They're afraid to make decisions. They're stuck in the mud. Well, this month, we're going to help you get out of the mud and well on your way to really living in the fullness of God's will for you. We have a wonderful resource available this month at basicgospel.net that will help you discern the will of God for your life. We want to put that in your hands. Bob Davis will have more information about that as we move further on into today's broadcast. But to open up this topic, we want to look at a passage out of Hebrews chapter 8. The writer of Hebrews says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord," and he's actually just pulling information out of the book of Jeremiah. This is a prophecy that Jeremiah gave hundreds of years before Christ came on the scene.
Yes.
So the writer of Hebrews is taking that information from Jeremiah, and he's going to make some really incredible points about the fact that this will is now in effect today. "So the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel." So some hundreds of years ago, Jeremiah said, "A time is coming."
Yes.
Well, when Jesus showed up, he said, "The time is here."
Yes.
He raised that cup at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant." So what was spoken of by Jeremiah was about to be fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ through his death on the cross. "So a time is coming when I will make a new covenant." So when we read the word covenant in the New Testament, we have to think of it in terms of covenant, testament, or a will. Those are interchangeable words as far as the Greek is concerned. So when I will make a new will with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah, it will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them. So that old covenant, that old agreement between God and the nation of Israel, was more like a contract.
Yes.
So it had if-then language within that covenant. If you obey my statutes and keep all of my commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Well, God was going to be faithful to his covenant.
Yes.
It was the Israelites that were going to struggle, and they did not keep up their end of the bargain. So that wasn't a good news will or a covenant or a testament for the people of Israel. It left them in the lurch, so to speak. But God knew all about that, and that's why he prophesied through Jeremiah that a time was coming when a new covenant would go into effect. When Jesus came on the scene, that new covenant went into effect. And we're going to turn over to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read this in verse 16. "In the case of a will or a testament or a covenant, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living." So God made this will. He wrote up this new covenant. Well, he sent Jesus. Jesus had a body that had been prepared for him. Jesus inhabited that body. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, he offered that body on the cross 2,000 years ago. He breathed his last. He died. He gave up his spirit. Once he died, once he was buried, which is proof of death, this new covenant was now in effect. Yep. So when Jesus came on the scene, when he died, shed his blood, he ratified this new covenant, ushering it in. So what is the will of God for you and me? It's this new covenant in which we live in today. It's a covenant in which God has written his laws of faith, hope, and love within our hearts. It's a covenant in which he claims us as his very own. We become the people of God. No strings attached to that. It's just through the work of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant in which we have relationship with God. We can boldly enter to the throne of grace, calling him Daddy, Father. It's a covenant in which our sins have been forgiven once and for all. He remembers them no more. And where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. That's the new covenant. That's God's will for your life. He wants those promises to become a reality for you, to shape every aspect of who you are as a person, as a child of God, shape every aspect of what you choose and do as a child of God. This is the will of God for you, and as we unfold this through the entire month, I think you're going to come away with a solid understanding and a genuine excitement about being a part of God's will each and every day of your life as a child of God. This is going to be a great month, guys.
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's the thing that many struggle with. I did early in my Christian life. What is God's will for my life? Well, ultimately, I found out. And friends, we want you to. That's the number one question, one of the primary questions that we receive. But the number one question that we receive here at Basic Gospel is about forgiveness. You know, many Christians are struggling in their Christian life because they don't truly understand. They don't know that God loves them and that they belong to him forever. Now, with your gift to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you a brand new CD resource entitled God's Will for You. Bob Christopher mentioned it just a few moments ago. Now, in this message, Bob explains the new covenant in terms of a will, God's will. And that was, of course, ushered in at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that will, you're going to find everything that you need to live a life of assurance. After you listen to the message, we hope that you will pass the message along to someone else who needs assurance and peace in their lives. God's will for you is yours with your gift this month to Basic Gospel. Just click the large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. That number available 24/7. Or go to our website, basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link, a big link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Bryan, Texas, and talk to James listening to us today. Hi, James. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind?
So, this is in regards to several verses kind of linked together. First of all, where it says, be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then where Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then whereas Paul had said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I do, I don't want to do. But then later said, I've completed my race, I've ran my race. I've heard argument by many that through the Holy Spirit, you can live a perfect life in line with God's commandments. And I just wanted your take on that.
Well, there's only one person that's ever done that. His name is Jesus. Yes. No one else has even come close because perfection, being sinless, is from the time you're born to the time you die. So we've all fallen short of that already. So many folks think, well, now that you're a Christian, that can happen. Well, I've yet to meet that guy either. Somebody that has lived in sinless perfection as a child of God, that person doesn't exist. But I think starting with the question on Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Oftentimes when we read that, we think of flawless perfection. We think of sinlessness. But the word perfect in the Greek language is the word telos, and it means to reach a stated goal. So when Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished, telos was a part of that word, tetelestai. What he was saying is that I have completed the task. I have reached the stated goal that my Father had for me. And so he completed his work. So God is perfect in the sense that he is complete in and of himself. He needs nothing. He wants nothing. He is perfectly content with who he is. We miss the mark on that. So when we come to Christ by faith, we have an opportunity to be exactly what God has created us to be, image bearers in this world. And so when we come to Christ by faith, the Bible says that we have been made perfect in God's sight. That's what Hebrews 10:14 says. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through, let me get to verse 14 of chapter 10. The wrong verse. So it says, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. By that one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So there was the command in Matthew 5:48 for us to be perfect. That's not something that we could do in and of ourselves. Human effort would never bring us to that stated goal. So God did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and he did it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who have been made holy. And what that means is that God has delivered us to his stated goal for us. We were dead in sin, and now through faith in Jesus Christ, we've been made alive. That's what God wanted for us all along. Now that we're alive and Christ is alive in us, we have that opportunity to reflect his image, reflect his life, reflect his love out there in the world. Does that make sense to you, James?
Yeah, that's perfect. Sure appreciate it.
Okay, you are welcome with that. Now, as far as Paul is concerned, the things I want to do, I don't do. That's all of us trying to live up to the law. When we're trying to perfect ourselves through human effort, we have that constant struggle, that constant battle within, and we get to the point we don't even understand ourselves. But the victory of that comes through Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we learn to start trusting him, then we can begin to see his life being lived out through us. And we begin truly experiencing the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I got them all.
Yes.
So it's the Christian life isn't about stopping sin, keeping sin in check. It's about learning to trust the Lord. And as we learn to trust the Lord, walk in the Spirit, we're going to find ourselves not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. So that's what Paul was getting at there, that we don't have to try to live this through human effort. We don't have to do this on our own. We have somebody that is more powerful than sin living in us. And if we'll just trust him, trust Jesus, then we're going to see his life, his love being poured out through us. And then the final verse that you mentioned was Paul finishing the race. And what he means there is carrying out the task that God had laid out before him. So in, I think, Acts 20, he had gathered the leadership from the church of Ephesus, and he talked to them, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They were mortified by that thought because they knew trouble was up ahead for Paul. They didn't want him to go. But he said, no, the Holy Spirit is leading me there, and this is all a part of me finishing the task, finishing the race that God has set before me, and that is to testify to the grace of God. So Paul's task as an apostle to the Gentiles, was to testify to the grace of God. And as he came to the end of his life, he realized that he had been able to carry out that task to the very end. Even when he was in prison and under house arrest in Rome, he was testifying to the grace of God. That's what Paul's life was all about. As one writer put it, Paul was all about grace, 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 grace. Sure. That was his task. He completed that.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, James. Great question today. Glad you called, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for what you guys do. I appreciate it.
Oh, hey, thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Remember, friends, that we're now streaming live video of each day's Basic Gospel broadcast to Facebook and YouTube. And if you'd like to see what it looks like as we actually do the broadcast live every day, well, these are your tickets. Facebook.com/Basic Gospel or YouTube.com/Basic Gospel. We're live each day at the 3 o'clock hour, the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, Central Time, Monday through Friday. And if you'd like to speak with us live, that's when you need to call, the first half of the 3 o'clock hour. Otherwise, just recall that same number, 844-322-2742, and leave your question by voicemail. We'll get to it very, very soon on Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you.
Well, thanks, Bob. And also a note to those who are joining us via Facebook Live or YouTube Live, specifically Facebook Live, though. If you have a question that comes up during the broadcast, you can write that question in a comment. And we are monitoring those comments. And if a question comes in, we'll try to get to it that day. So we want some interaction as far as this Facebook Live is concerned.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So if you're watching, you have a question, let us know you're watching. Say hello. Also, write out the question. We'd love to get to it.
Absolutely.
Well, let's go and talk to our good friend Ryan up in Lacombe, Alberta. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing well. How about you, my friend?
Doing well. A little bit tired, but I guess enough coffee will help help take that away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a question. I apologize if you've already answered this before. It's from the book, actually, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. As you guys know, I have limited vision, so I had Siri read the book to me. And she doesn't really do a good job of explaining some points. So my question was, in the book, it said, I think it was the... it had a number like 430 years, I believe that was the number, between covenants, or it had tied that number to some significance to do with some sort of covenant. Maybe you could explain that a little bit to me. I wasn't quite clear.
Well, that's a number that comes from the book of Galatians. So it's Paul is just kind of laying out the idea that here was this covenant that God made with Abraham, and that covenant was the eternal covenant. And then there was another covenant that came into being called the Mosaic Covenant, and that came into being a number of years, 430 years after this covenant with Abraham. And so Paul is saying that this secondary covenant, this Mosaic Covenant, does not supersede the purposes of the Abrahamic covenant. It only serves that greater covenant. So the Abrahamic covenant was the greater covenant. The Mosaic covenant was the lesser covenant. And it came into existence 430 years after basically the Abrahamic covenant. So there was a prophecy to Abraham that... you know, the bloodline would eventually wind up in Egypt. They would spend 400 years under Egyptian control. After that 400 years, they would be set free, and then a new covenant was going to be made, or the Mosaic Covenant.
Yes.
But that Mosaic Covenant was simply a means that God put into place to serve this greater covenant, the covenant in which God said to Abraham, through your seed, the world is going to be blessed. So it was a tutor, a guide for the people of Israel until the time of Jesus. And that happened 430 years after the Abrahamic covenant.
Okay. No, perfect. That answers my question.
Hey, Ryan, since you mentioned Siri, you might get a laugh out of this. This morning, I was using her to take some dictation on one of the promotions I'm doing here on radio. And so I finished after a couple of lines. She cut in and she says, "Perhaps it would be wise to consult another source for your spiritual needs, perhaps a human."
Yes, yes. And the verse in Galatians.
That's the advice I've ever heard from her.
Yeah. The verse in Galatians, Ryan, that talks about this is Galatians 3:17, and it says this, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say into seeds, meaning many people, but into your seed, meaning one purpose, who is Christ. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. So that's Galatians 3:17.
Okay. No, okay. Got it. Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Great to hear from you, Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan. Good to
Yeah, we're praying for you, and I know lots and lots and lots of our listeners are praying with you as well, my friend.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I'm truly blessed to have you and the listeners one big family. Okay.
Yes, that's wonderful. Well, thanks, Ryan. We love you,
thanks,
my friend.
Guys.
All right, bye bye. Let's go talk to our good friend Brad. Hey, Brad, welcome to Basic Gospel this afternoon.
Oh, very good. If I could, at first, I'd like to reach out to Ryan, and if Ryan will call the ministry and get my contact information. As you guys know, I've been dealing with limited vision my whole life, and it's not getting better. But I've got a lot of different tools and maybe some suggestions that can help Ryan, navigate through the waters of reading material. And as you guys know, I read a lot, but I use, applications and different things on my computer.
So I'd love to talk to him,
if there's anything I can do to help get something started for him. Well, Siri's not a real good, I guess that's a way to a means, but yeah. But anyway, what I was thinking about when I heard your dialogue today, and it's a wonderful subject, and I know when we get to the end of April, we're going to be saying we could have used another month or two or three or four on this subject, as with all subjects you guys talk about. But I was thinking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and I was thinking about times before the Old Covenant when Abraham and Noah, before anything happened, those two guys were found to be righteous among all the men and women and everything around them because they did one thing. They believed God, right? And once that was determined by God, then God started communicating and leading and guiding them in the path that he wanted them to go and telling them different things, and Noah built the ark and all these things. And then when you come to the new covenant, I was thinking about, the new covenant journey. And one of the first things you talk about in that is the will of God. Well, the disciples asked Jesus, what are the works that we can do so we can do the work of the Father? And Jesus corrected their grammar and said, the work of the Father
is to believe.
To believe in whom he has sent. Well, once a
Well, Brad, let me jump in because we're out of time on today's broadcast. But he's exactly right. This is a covenant of grace. So the way it works is by grace through faith in Jesus. So that's how righteousness is given as a gift through faith. We receive that. And that's what this new covenant is all about. That's what God's will is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, I want to remind you that our new CD, God's Will for You, will solidify your assurance that within the new covenant, you're always in the center of God's will. There's no fear, no failure, and this CD will make a great gift to someone you know who may be struggling with these issues. At Basic Gospel, we so appreciate your partnership with us. Those of you who step up to support the message of God's love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus, this is the message, the central message above all others. And we want to give back to you, those of you who give to support this message. So with your gift during the month of April, we want you to have this CD, God's Will for You. It's yours with your gift, as I said, this month to Basic Gospel. Just click the large link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742, and you can do that 24 hours a day. Again, 844-322-2742 or basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this edition, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. It's always good to be with you. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.